listen to the birds. I love them. They have this tree on the street and they have their community there and they just chirp, thinking about us in FG8. Hey guys, you know I'm up and I'm started this morning with my APG5 and then I had my yoga nidra. So that became my night. Thank so much for yoga nidra, for the way that I have become an expert at my my struggle. Because here's the thing, yoga nidra is hard for people who are not hard-headed like me, because I'm the kind of people who can keep on holding on and focus on the breath and laying that between sleep and some kind of other state. That is the meditative state of that yoga nidra. So if I were normal, which I would have loved, you know, how I wish, I would be falling asleep right away, because that's the way before sleep. So the stage right before, but you don't hit it. Or I don't know what version or what order, but I'm grateful for that. Every time now that my demon nights hit, I just know I rely on my breath, lay down and just breathe. So that's how blessing disguise. I've become really, really good with my meditation journey. As in, it's not about succeeding or achieving, because that's not the way it works. But how I get the results and the feelings, how it influences everything. So blessing disguise again, that I wouldn't want it to be another way, because the other side of me would be bored and sleeping like a baby, no words at all, but also nothing in my heart that I can walk over, you know, long time to keep on showing up. Because there is just that thing, and I think I can only relate to the way you feel when you have a family and your children. And I know you're not my biological children, but it does not matter. And because this is what I feel is, what the heck would I do if I didn't do this? I don't have another alternative way of, like, another life, because I don't want another thing. So isn't it wonderful to know that even the things you challenge or you're worried about the most is gonna be your gain? Now looking back about my training life and remembering and a little bit of now I get the findings, as in, you know, when you work on yourself and you want to find new domains of yourself, areas or thoughts that you haven't known about yourself. The greatest thing with that is it pops up now how I remember that when I was doing the Buck Bible or did Vedya training, that I really wanted to train like that. I never allowed myself. I didn't let myself train, because for me that was not cool enough. I wanted to be the, you know, train heavy and hard. I had that mentality, and it wasn't even how I started. Arnold wasn't heavy and hard, he was pumping. And that was my inspiration, just like most of you. But then we evolved, and then it became that we train max OT training. That was how I came over from typically pump training the way I do now to this before CrossFit was around. So heavy and hard, and typically coming from Olympic weightlifting background, is how it formed the way people loaded the training. And it was fun. So just listen, I'm not saying anything should have done or been another way. I'm just expressing the journey of the up and down. And now thinking about all those years that I just didn't want to train to in a way that would be the way I do now, because it wasn't up to my standard. I had all those typical things. It should must be this heavy. I don't want to do a fun workout. I look down on light days. I frowned upon taking time off. I mean, that all was for me a sign of weakness. Even though later in my life, I realized that all these ideals of things people are focusing on in diet and fitness competition, all this focus on what doesn't matter in life, making it struggle, talking about how this is so hard, and kind of think we have a chip on our shoulder, you know, that we can do it. It was such a frustrating, annoying thing, because I wasn't about that. All I loved about it was what other people complained about. Having to train, yes, good. Having to, you know, eat the way and sacrifice. And for me, I didn't feel it was a sacrifice that way. So I couldn't relate to the way of having this negative mindset about fitness life. But I got colored too by it. So then you become one of those who are just judging, comparing everything's bodies. My body was never like strong enough for what I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be strong, you know, that person who's strong. And not relatively speaking, like, yeah, you know, you all think I'm strong because I lift 5 pounds, you know, but there's different levels. The people I'm talking about, they're just a whole other level. My body would never have been able to keep up with that. So then, living in the area where people come from the whole world, including me, to train, you're gonna witness and notice that there are people who play different kind of games and don't have any health interest or don't care about the body. Now you're in that environment, and that's when you notice the way people can put in whatever they find things that are gonna be special cookies. And to simply observe that in a record time someone goes from fat, out of shape, you know, or not at all having any muscle, no background, to in record time 3-4 months have a blown out physique that would take 5 to 10 years in the making. That's because some people just care about the results and a trophy and to win a show. And that's what they are about. And I was the opposite. I was about everything up to the show was what I was interested in, the lifestyle. Everything became contest post-contest blues, because then there was nothing to work or strive for. There was no destination to hit. Why should I now train? Why should I have a plan? Why does it matter now? So that's then what becomes of competition. It goes from something that you work for one day in the future to now it's a lifestyle. And that's when everything breaks apart. That how do you hold on to what there's no balance? How do you hold on to when you haven't learned how to have moderation of what you always loved so much that got you into fitness or having interest in diet? So now that ends up being right away there, because nobody is around for you to understand your sadness or your diet depression or the way you can feel if you don't know how to maintain your healthy or lean body and you want to, because you think it's gonna take just willpower or to be okay with discipline. And that's when I really want you to wake up and listen to me. You all fall for the same tsunamis or waves or sabotaging, as in you think you're good because you have maybe 4, 5, 6 months discipline, that you love fighter diet, you love, you know, lean body or whatever your work version. And then all of a sudden, after you have made traction, you're leaner than ever, stronger than ever, you have the more of the body look than you want. What happens? Well, you start to get demotivated again. So now look, you are getting all the results you talk about you need. Now you are not motivated for it. That's when you don't realize it wasn't really about the body then, because apparently nothing you are willing to kind of sacrifice for it is worth it. So now you look, you forget how it felt before you had your results. So now you're gonna start to neglect and kind of not care as much. Now that ends up to being terrified about noticing that you can't make yourself come back to so-called the way you want to eat and train that you want, the ideal you. You're not at all that person. So then how I felt about this is that I always wanted to look like I can compete, and that's always what I wanted and still is. To different levels of my capacity and goals in general. But that wasn't what other people were about. So I wasn't doing on and off season training the way you do in competition, which is a normal way to allow recovery and to make you have more deload and make you able to keep up, builds you up. But I wasn't willing to do that because I didn't believe you. I didn't want to rest. I just wanted to train. And then I was scared of resting because when I did, I was so tired that I had no clue how to ever believe I'm gonna have energy again. And I remember all those years of keeping up with this lifestyle of training hard. I love the diet nutrition, so that was just, I ended up with the same diet depression everyone else was, because I didn't know how to moderate my indulgences. And for a long, long time, you can keep on doing refits and having everything that is just the way a refit is. But if there is this urge that you want something and you're not ever gonna have it and not a version of it, so there's no satisfaction and you're aware of this, you're gonna notice that you're not gonna be able to enjoy your food anymore. So what you used to love, now you don't anymore because it's too monotonous. Now being me, I could keep that up, so that's how I could kind of eat cabbage and pink salmon for like almost every day for years in a row. I started 2006, and I think I was done with that first version like 2013. So talk about discipline, that's what I'm saying, that don't believe that I wasn't happy and loved the food, because we do until we don't. So we all go through, if you're the disciplined person like me, who have trained yourself into being that, so it wasn't the way you were born, you were made. Notice that it's not gonna work for you unless you do open up your mind to force yourself to handle and take care of, manage, practice moderation. Because you're gonna end up there anyway. It does not matter how much you want to say, I don't need it or I'm not gonna have it. You're gonna. Because if not, why do you keep on going back on your word then? So learn that and see that your story about yourself, how you want to be all discipline and no joy for no reason, just to say, I can have this. Why can't you do that, right? Because there's so much guilt. Because this is guilt about wanting food that is just for pleasure in fitness and nutrition and health. And it's insane. Because that is why we feel deprived, that there is no way of moderating. And it's not that someone forces us not to, but it's the policy pretty much. And since nobody knows how to manage when you're really starved and lean, and you just have no clue how to prevent the rebellion, the boomerang effect, and after a long time of suppressing your feelings or suppressing your appetite, you're gonna have a boomerang effect, and then how are you gonna handle it? Without a deadline, without a show, without having to stand on a stage with a bikini, you're not gonna have the discipline anymore. So unless there's a force, there's a power person over you, or something that scares you to make sure that you hold on, you're not gonna be able to do it. And that is the kind of big thing between competition and just a challenge in a group, that you don't see it as serious in a challenge because it's just a social media group, or it's just online, or you're not gonna be on a stage. You forget you're on your stage of your life every day, so don't you wanna be there to kind of play it out? all these self-induced kind of expectations on. It's been so long now that I can almost not remember, so that's why it's so good for me to kind of revisit my story, to remember the feelings and how it works. Because that of never being happy, of if you're lean and you're working to get leaner, you're happy. And you're eating Pobo, so you know how to satisfy your hunger. But that day comes when it's not about hunger, it's about appetite or feeling deprived from simply just bliss. And yeah, it's gonna be the greedy mouth, because you are tapping into what you don't, you know, like you're doing what your body's gonna react to. You're gonna get hungry, you're gonna see all the food temptations all over. That's what happens once you decide you're gonna get leaner or think diet. You're gonna be hyper aware of everything that can stop the diet from taking place. So now it's not just you, that's everyone. And if you don't focus on getting lean or staying lean, even though you want to gain muscle, notice how challenging it is for your mind to grasp that concept. You don't know what do you do when you have gotten lean enough and you notice there's not that much underneath. What do? Are you going to cry about it? No. You have to know it takes more time. You have to be patient. Because you're not going to do the transformation that is going to be that you can't hold on to it. Which means you're not going to do the special cookie one. Or rely on, I'm just going to focus for months to get in shape and then handle it later. That means just a rebound. The handling later never happens. You just keep on running away. That's typically what clients do. You're scared of eating and you don't want to practice eating. Now you just want to run away. And what happens? You run away and eat the food you are scared of eating. So at some point, maybe we can learn. Stay around instead, work it out. All these years that I was training, thinking back now, how I was really forcing myself to do lifts and reps and sets and volume. And all the panic, or like, no, not the panic, that was about work. Anxiety and self-pressure, but threatening myself, if I'm not lifting this much today, I'm just a fool. That I'm just like an idiot promising so much. I played all those games about I have to lift this because if I don't, then I'm not gonna have this or that. Always conditions. It's a great game, but not if you do it all the time, and it's abusive. Like, I was not listening to my body, I was not stopping. I felt it was a human right to just do whatever I wanted because it was my body. And I was right, but also wrong. So if you try to think, I want to gain lean muscle, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do it? It's probably because you're going to feel like I did. I was still holding on to the scale. I was doing body composition decks and all that sometime to kind of, because I was so confused about the water and fat and how fluctuating from day to day, I just got crazy. So I made all those tests to see that I was lean enough and to be ultra lean. It's like 6% of the DEXA scan, and then checked with BodPod. Yeah, on tape measurement. So I just didn't believe myself. I didn't trust myself. I wasn't aware. I didn't know. So I had to have a machine to kind of check me. Is this fat? Is it lean? I couldn't trust myself. Somehow I made this story about, you know, whatever struggle, what is. And I was not playing the whole part, because at any time that I had enough, or there was not a deadline, or I just got sad again or depressed, it wasn't even a refeed, because I didn't have the power to train it, because I was not strong enough for that. Long, long time ago now, guys. And then, well, the only option would be cheat day, and of course that couldn't do that, because I know if cheat days for me were 20,000 calories and ice cream and chocolate and, you know, anything crispy. So of course that would take me to fatten up. Then I have to work off that for months before I even got into the fat I wanted to lean out before I damaged. So always on a constant cardio fat loss mode, because just to pretty much just work it off the sabotage. So which means I was always too exhausted to train hard enough, but I didn't know it. because I was younger and I ate junk regularly intervals where I quit on it and did just like you. Surrender because I was so tired and wanted to eat and having the munchies and wanting to have what everyone else was doing and start over and just kind of just see it, that that's a cheat day and we have that now and then. You have that mentality until you realize how much damage it does to your mind and how you cannot keep having that routine, because the cheat days become more often and the days between less, you start to justify more, even the healthy snacks become more. So for me, it was just that I wanted the later years in America before I got my bigger epiphanies. I wanted ReFit to be 12 protein bars that are just diet junky, right? So that would mean that's 4,000 calories there. That was just part of my ReFit, and I said this was justified, you know, that I felt this is what I wanted to be a ReFit. It was just candy. And then I love to go to Whole Foods and have boxes of, you know, healthy vegetables grilled and seasoned, but that was plenty of oil and sugar and stuff like that, and that I just consciously ignored because that was the time where, and that I reasoned like that. And those were the same days where I never had any so-called unplanned cheat days until once every blue moon. So all my clients knew, like, yeah, Pauline goes and has ice cream to remember once a year. And that was nothing that I looked forward to. It was just, usually I get my release once a year. And now I'm laughing, thinking, what a manageable, you know, still a drug addiction to have that. When it wasn't something I was proud of, I wasn't talking about it, I was gonna do it. So it's all about just falling for my own lack of wanting to be real, right? Because it's not that I can't have it, but it's about knowing what I know about myself and how I behave and what I talk and what I think. That's why it adds up. Now, of course, I got the consequence of the body, and I just couldn't get away with what other people said they could get away with in eating. I don't know how people do it. Probably have a very small appetite. I just can't eat. I'll eat everyone, I guess. Not anymore. And now my policy is just like, I don't want any that is called junk for me in my body. Things have changed. But that has also changed that I'm not trying to stay so lean all the time when I'm also wanting to gain muscle. I have also learned how to refeed. I also know how to moderate anything I want. I can now because I know how to practice. I know how to set it up, and that's what I teach you. But looking back on all this kind of disciplined eating and how I look down on people who don't count calories, like people who don't want to track macros the way I do now, I look down on that because I didn't believe in it. I thought somehow I have to know. Not macros, because I never needed that. I saw through that. But calories. I too was scared of carbs. I was scared of fats. Well, scared of everything pretty much. Not protein, because somehow protein became very glorified. So I rather just eat everything in protein. And somehow think that is good. And even though I rationally could understand for a long time that is not the way to do it, I still did it. Because you're a creature of your habits. I remember how I looked down on people, women, who had less muscle goals than I did. Not, of course, not about getting bigger than you can, but I'm just naturally gaining and training the way I live the life that I teach you. I looked down on those who had goals to kind of not be trying to lift and gain muscle. It was almost like, for me, if you're not lifting with the passion I got for it, then you're not doing good enough. And I know what it sounds like. What an idiot. Yeah, I know. Exactly. I didn't believe in myself. I didn't trust myself. I didn't even know how much I wanted to have variety in my training. I didn't know how much power I had in me to just show myself that if I let go of all this policing and just trust myself in why do I do this, just have a little conversation with me and not work the same why can't I have this? Like, if I start from this is what I want to do, help me want to be my best, what can I do? When you start in that angle, things are just different. But now, coaching and working with people who have this idea of fitness life or fitness competition, that is, I don't know, that you want to be part of this, when I feel like, no, you don't want to be part of this extremely closed up, constipated minds of the strong bodies, and you don't have to feel it. And if you ever show weakness or sign that you need a day off, or you're taking higher reps, or you are older, yeah. Oh, that's a big offense, growing older, because everyone believes you're gonna be weaker all the time. And all the people at the gym who always said, I'm stronger than ever, than was 20, and they're like in their 40s. And I just know how I feel, and let me just explain why I don't have any interest to train the way I used to. Blessing, my thumbs and my hands, arthritis. Great, I can't lift it, it's bone on steel. It's not comfortable and I can't do it. So that is a way that stops me from wanting to do that. Then I have my two hamstrings that are ours, both worked through and torn, and one surgically repaired because I didn't want to stop, and also hilarious that I didn't even work my hamstrings. I just worked them hard, I didn't work them well, that's why I could have built a lot of muscle that I do now, I hope. That's my plan. So I'm taking notes of everything that I now can use in my advantage. That's the way to live. Not to be a victim talking about the story. So I'm just really need you to listen, because I feel that you have this perception or idea of what you want, which is for me a prison. It would be the drought. I would never want to live there. But until you have another alternative of idea, you think that is the way to accept. You think to be lean and strong, or to, you have to live some kind of this idea of a body. And here goes all the heavy and hard training and badass pictures and dark dungeon, you know, all that. Well, I have no interest in that anymore. And the reason for that is so limiting. And also, oh, I forgot to keep on. So my two hamstrings, of course, limit me in the way I can train. So I have to do it another way. I wouldn't be able to handle my frequency. I would have to reduce my training. And I wouldn't be able to train on camera for you, which is my why. I gave up on that. It just became my joy. Unexpectedly. So then I had to find some new way of training harder. And since I can't load it more, and I couldn't keep on training what I used to do, because that's how you just trigger the same limiting injury, or like, here is where the body breaks down, you can't do it anymore. If you don't have a new way to do it that is going to be more advanced, that is going to be more progressive, which is hard when you train for 20 years plus, you know, I'm on 25 years. It's going to be really hard to get that, to elicit that effect from your body that there is a reason to gain muscle. You really going to have to think outside the box, or humble yourself and work all the range of motion you always skip, just like me, to work all the form and the flow and the reps that you never wanted. That finally you're here to accept there's reps between, behind, like after 20, that you didn't want to know because that's too puny. You have to be like me, letting go of all these thoughts and things that is part of that, in order to realize you're living in the past. Science-wise too, it's not just you and your perception or what you want to believe. We know more, we have more advanced ways, and more people have trained past regular basic. So you have more people who walk the talk than ever. I don't know anyone I compare to, because I compare to myself. I know what I do and what I am. And I have never been more happy with my training life. So then we keep on the canon why I don't train the way I used to if I wanted to. So I would be limiting. I wouldn't be able to keep on building muscle with my loading technique, unless I also gained weight or fat, and kind of just increase strength that way. But then I would be injured, because I would be overpowering my body, Now I can lift more than is good for me. I wouldn't be able to nurse my injuries, and then I would tear it up again. That's what I was doing over and over. And that was just like the routine people do. Yeah, we train until we get injured, and then we sit it out, and then people fatten up. But I didn't, because I refused. That was my whole quest in life, to be able to stay lean and be happy and not hangry and not be suddenly depressed when this is what I love to do. It made no sense for me, so I'm so grateful that I really saw that fight and why it's fight or diet. You gotta fight for this bliss, because it's not naturally bliss unless you train yourself to see it. You gotta live it. So then more limitations would be time-wise, that how would I be able to train to fit in cardio and mobility and stretching, which I never took time for before. Well, cardio, yes, but not mobility, definitely not. Except for one of the preferred little areas that I thought was cool, like splits. So I had always good mobility in the areas that I liked, but not in my priorities, like hamstrings. Yeah, see? Ankles, calves, I never stretched. Didn't think that was anything worth it. Why not just change the stance, right? I remember all the times in my medieval era or mid-era or more before Renaissance, that how to have anxiety to go into the gym to train, because you think this is how you have to do it. You have to psych yourself up. And this is the way to feel pre-workout, that you're supposed to have anxiety. Maybe, but not every time, and not not for every workout, and not to just get you through to do the workout, that you're so stressed out because the sets, simply looking at the workout, you know the load is giving you anxiety and stress. It's giving you heart pressure, blood high blood pressure, pretty much, almost no, but almost. That expectation of I have to keep up this, and there's no end, because you know that you will never be able to get off this routine, because if you do, you're gonna gain fat again, because that's what you do. And then I got scared of the fatigue that happens when you start, if you dare to have a day off, because then all of a sudden all the built up fatigue has to come out. So now you feel like you're dead. You don't know what to do. So tired, and that's scary. What are you gonna do if you can't train hard again? And then put the fears up. And if you can't fuel it, you're too tired, scared of rest, what happens? You gotta find some way to find the motivation. What is the easiest way to do it? Self-sabotage. And in nutrition and fitness, it will always be the wrong kind of food for what you want to be about and how it affects you. I can just say that life is very, very rewarding and interesting, and such an opportunity to grow and have insights. But you also have to know that if you romanticize about your idea of what it's like, do you know how the people in that, they must feel? Like, I can only talk for myself, but I always felt like I couldn't be allowed to be taking care of my body. Like, it wasn't the, and it wasn't someone telling me this, but you know how it is, that everyone follows the line. I was always an outsider, but still had that streak in me about I'm disciplined until I'm not, and I don't know the difference between discipline and love. I don't know how to make myself understand. And again, all this is growing lessons. I was younger, I was holding on to what I wanted my beliefs to be. And then think in 2017, when I was sitting crying about I don't know how, what is the future, because I don't know how to train, and all I wanted was to train heavy and hard and barbell squats and deadlifts, and all that was all I wanted. And now it was taken away from me, and I didn't know what to do. And I didn't know, because I never done that before. I have never taken more than a week off, one time 11 days after my hernia repair. I never. I thought I can just rest when I die. I thought if I recover, if I have motivation, that is the way I know I'm not overdoing it. So I had this kind of justification game that I'm listening to my body, because apparently my body, I don't know what I was waiting for, because I know my body would have said it didn't want me to lift. I had pains right away, right taking the deadlift, the pains in the sit bone, pain everywhere, but just muster up and then it goes away into the sets. So now I'm thinking, like, how can that be something attracted to want? So now, further down my body, of course, all the joints are going to be more stiff for me. Like, everything is more, they're good days and bad days. But I have been fortunate with taking care of pretty much all my joints in my body. So that's something I really good. Except for the two hamstrings, right? But shoulders, elbows, everything else intact. So good there, Pauline. But then I got gout and regular arthritis in my feet, which sometimes I can't wear my shoes, sometimes I can't train. When I had the gout, I couldn't walk. It was hilarious. No, it was horrible, but it was also a really good experience. I didn't know I have gout. Now I learned by eliminating whatever I thought was going to be trigger. And I don't know yet what was it, but I know that I keep it under control. So now today I just have regular arthritis that comes and goes. So when you hold on to your past in training, so things that you think and you love, and but you also feel this kind of pressure, and it's not really fun, it's not the joy, it's the destruction, it's the you know the vibe, it's toxic, because you're stuck holding on to something that isn't helping you. It was fun to train heaven hard as long as I could do so without getting injured, but then injuries and an athlete, we know that doesn't match. You lose all you love and you get that identity crisis. So I have completely evolved from all that, and now it's hard for me to see and witness other people holding on to that, because you are in the same mindset as I was, that you are believing that this is it for you. You are not going to be happy in any other way. You are scared of letting go of your high expectations. Like, you are scared of, you're scared of lifting to gain muscle, because when you think like that, you start eating more. So you are just kind of having the same kind of mind hiccup. As any moment you think gain, you just don't know what to do with nutrition. So it's not the gaining muscle that is problem. And we all said, well, I can't because I always get fat. Like, when I want to gain muscle, I always get fat. Yeah, we do. Because that is when we somehow make a decision that we can kind of slack a little bit on nutrition and eat as nutritiously. So again, protein bars, a handful of walnuts. Why do you think I care about not adding my justified walnuts every night? Because they're part of my routine, but not every day. Because then I'm going to gain more fat than I want. Then I'm going to cry about it. Because it's so much more motivating to stay lean. It's so discouraging to see fat gain. And when you want to gain lean, you have to just accept the slow time of doing that. That you cannot suddenly be upset one day and have a cheat day because you're even gaining muscles. It doesn't matter. That's how you don't want to gain muscle, while you start on another defeat all the time, because you can't keep it together. You can't be a turtle. You can't be like me. Over 1.5 years has accumulated 4 or 5 pounds. So the 4 to 5 is a fluctuation. Didn't happen overnight, but the critical mass adds up and adds up. I do keep on triggering and stimulating it. And yesterday, my load on my moves were from 30 pounds to 40. That's a big, big improvement. And then I couldn't keep up with the way I train my alternating step downs. So I abducted the foot, and all of a sudden there was a new way to do it, and without pain. So pain is, of course, a precursor to injury and strain. So that's why I pay attention. Plus, I can't keep doing it. Gotta listen. So today I'm back to coaching. Gonna have the lessons. And here is what I wanted to know. We have defeat to refeed that is focused on getting your focus on staying lean or getting lean, or your habits, your nutrition habits, the rhythm of that. 2 weeks starts in April 1 in the Muscle and Strength Challenge. You want to be with me on the coach, the VIP message, to see what happens when you have me closer. then you PayPal or Venmo me $150 and I will get you into the group April 1. So that is a whole month before I open up the group for everyone else, because I'm going to open up the group at May 1 to start May 13, to really have a calm, peaceful, relaxed way of starting a challenge, to give you plenty of time to consult with me, to come to the group, to pick out and try workouts. So you have it set out. Now you go to work. So it's not about shock, 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 I don't know what to do, and then can't do it. Oh, I get overwhelmed. Because that's not how you make it happen. So $150 from April 1 covers your April, so that is in the muscle strength. And when you have me close to defeat to refeed, I'm just going to have more power in me to give you a little bit more extra care. Now, with EFT, it's strong. Early bird is up, so it's a really, really good saving for you. For me, not that good, right? So feel free to pay the full price right away. You can always PayPal me your tips. Now you feel pressure, right? Well, I'm a blackjack dealer, and I love to, you know, play that game. The house always wins in the end. Then we have FD8 Strong. So early bird is up there. And if you want to try my coaching for that round, or you want to be my VIP client who gets in there early April 1, you can want 50 for that. That is in addition to the FD8 Strong admission. So just so you know, defeat to refeed is in the muscle strength part of that challenge already. If you're there, you're going to be with me. If you want to try my VIP coaching method, which I really recommend, if you feel that you just get overwhelmed and don't know, and you just want help with getting a flow and keep it up, if that's you, then try the VIP coaching that is based on monthly. So March 1 is March, and then April is for April, May for May. So it doesn't go with the challenges, but it kind of lined up the same way. Now, you can have me as a coach for FD8 Strong, and that starts then May 13. But if you're enrolled as a VIP, notice, you have me as coaching from monthly. So you have April if you're enrolled. If you want to keep, just keep on recurring. So you're investing in yourself. So it's like a subscription. Now, you know, I will come out and keep on handing you programs and keep up, and I will also keep it closer, because you become one of my people, my clients, who I make workouts for. So you have more power in your kit you get from me, because I just get to know you more. And that's the fun with training and training to clients. It's not to train one size fits all, or thinking I have to cater for hundreds of people. So this is how I just love to work. If you have the way to do it, I would love for you to try it. So simply like this. When I come back today and setting up my VIP, if you're my VIP client, you can pay $150 to get early access at one at the new challenge, FD8 Strong. And then you also just add me on top. Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful sunrise. So at Pauline Odine, Venmo, PayPal, $150. That's for the VIP coaching for 1 month. It also gets you to have me add you in early access to FD8 Strong, which I'm building up now in the group. And that's the next challenge. But Defeat to Refeed starts and is hosted within FD8 Muscle and Strength current challenge. So if you're not enrolled with that, you missed, you can still sign up for my VIP coaching, because Defeat to Refeed is with you one-on-one then. 2 weeks then, but hey, it's a whole month, because with my VIP coaching on Messenger, I have reduced my rate so you can have more but less, as in I can help more people without committing so much time, because that is not the way I grow a big community. And trust me, you know I want to make as many people's realities come true, dream-wise, just like mine, that you can eat and you can be happy and healthy and fit and strong, confident. There's no this, I know the depression's gonna come. There's no end, just continuation. It's really your life. Like everything else you love in your life, now apply that onto fitness. You make that happen. If you want to do that, then you know, try my VIP coaching and then see me in Muscle and Strength later today. Defeat to Refeed starts April 1. You have all the options, and reach out to me through Messenger. But admission to FD8 Strong, you need to have this good coaching rate. And that is that fire had to come. All right. Talk to you soon.